Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Good morning and welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We're coming to you live from Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. Located today right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. We're going to tip it off right off the bat and talk to Ken Washington, Supervisor of Officials for the Alabama High School Athletic Association. And what a wonderful job he is doing. Got a big weekend coming up. Got all the coaches from all around Alabama in Montgomery this week. And so welcome, Ken. Welcome to Prep Sports Report. I think it's our first time to have you on with us, but thank you for taking some time out today to talk to us about some of the things going on there in your office and around Montgomery, pal.
Yep, absolutely, man, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, man. It's absolutely a pleasure and an honor.
Well, it's 25 years of doing this, and you know, as coaches, generally – when we see guys with stripes come in, and we generally stand up and salute. When you got 80 something years of coaching sitting in this office, and you guys walk in, we try to do everything we can to give you all due respect, because when the whistle start blowing, we start yelling, and that's
that's kind of how it goes.
That's the way it goes, pal. And you've been in this. I think you were prior to joining the office, when Coach Steve Savarese hired you, I think you were coaching in Anniston, weren't you? Weren't you what is that road running right down the heart of Anniston? I used to know it by heart.
Quintar.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Quintar.
Yeah.
And that's, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on. We got a huge conference in association with your office, and then with the National Association going to be at home in Montgomery. Not only this weekend, starting Sunday, I think running through Tuesday, but you got a big day set for Saturday as well, right?
That is absolutely correct. We have our state day, which is titled Officiate Alabama Day for our officials, and we're gonna highlight and celebrate those men and women who are dedicated to our student athletes across our state. Just want to make sure they have an opportunity to play various sports, because we teach education-based athletics through competition, and what a better way of doing that as a team and a camaraderie and being able to get out there and showcase their skills and things of that nature. And we just try to make sure the spirit of the game is taken care of. And so we're going to invite all our officials from all nine sports to come into one location. The very first time that I can remember, or someone in their 60s can remember, this is going to be the very first time an event of this magnitude will be here in Alabama, in the city of Montgomery, where every sport official from every across the state, it will be in one location, getting training and collaborating with each other, and we're going to have a good time doing it.
You know, now where are you going to hold that, Ken?
We will be at the lovely Renaissance Hotel downtown Montgomery, and they have been a great host for our coaches, and they have been a great partner for us for many years, allowing us to utilize their facility to hold our conferences and some of our awards and our Hall of Fame banquets and some other things. And we're so happy that they're going to allow us to hold our Officiate Alabama Day here on Saturday.
So Saturday you'll bring all the officials in from the nine sports that where we utilize officials. And, you know, I know here for the last maybe 5 years, we have really been on board with all of our officials and all the supervisors in your different districts, trying to do everything we could to promote athletes and even non-athletes who love our sports to get involved and become officials. Are we seeing a rise in the number of officials we have in Alabama, or are we kind of remaining where we have been for a while?
We are on a upward climb, thank the Lord, and not just in Alabama, but across our nation. We're up around 3 to 5% across the nation, and we're definitely going up every year in Alabama, which is kudos to our radio stations, people like yourself, news stations, just people getting the word out, and people are answering the call, and we're so happy to have them. And we're going to continue to recruit officials, and we're going to try to maintain them as well. And we need your help, and we need our fans' help, and to just be a little bit more respectful to the people who are answering these calls for our babies out there while they're out there playing.
Well, and we don't play if we don't have you. We just
That's
don't.
Right. Hey, you won't believe this. I saw this firsthand this summer where the officials called the game and they left, and parents actually went out there and tried to call the game with no whistle. And it is something I never want to see in Alabama high school competition.
Well, and, you know, I see it more in basketball and baseball than any other sports. I don't know why.
Yes, sir.
Football, we're so far away, and we're wearing headsets, and we don't want to hear it. But we do. And our parents have to do a better job. Fans have to do a better job. But the first place we've got to do a better job is as coaches. And we've got to set the example, Ken. And I think that's something that I know that Steve used to really harp on that.
Yes,
I know
sir.
Alvin did the same thing. And that's the first place it's got to start. And when coaches say, we don't want you here if you're going to criticize our officials.
So you, yep. And Mr. Harmon has stepped in and raised it up just a little higher.
Good.
To keep that mission going. He has preached that from day one. And he is very supportive of our officials, and we are so grateful to have him. And he's going to continue to do the right things in our office, and he's already off to a great start.
So we have a couple of minutes left here with you, and then coming Sunday, you start the NASO, the National Association of Sports Officials.
Yep. Let me correct you now. They do not like NASO.
They don't?
No, it's NASO.
Okay.
NASO.
I'm glad you did that because I would have messed up with that. So talk a little bit about what's coming on Tuesday, Sunday through Tuesday.
Oh, man, that's a national conference for officials. That's one of our biggest conference nationally that we have, and it's promoted from state to state. And that the title for that conference is Dare to Lead. Dare to Lead. And it's going to be geared around leadership. And our officials are taking advantage in Alabama of that conference. And people from other states are going to fly into Alabama and stay here in Montgomery that week to also get that education from the professionals from across the world, the best trainers. And the last day they're going to have a, what would you call that, a gala.
Yeah.
And they recognize an official for their service to officiating, and it's one of the biggest awards. It's called the Gold Whistle Award that they give out every year, and it's a huge accomplishment and a recognition for that official, and what a great way to honor them in that way.
Well, that is certainly a big, big thing. I know this was something that we had originally planned for the year of COVID. And thankfully, we got it back, coming back to Montgomery this year. And thank you for all of your hard work and everybody in the state office for getting it in there. Look, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit to Ken Washington about what we need to do to get more officials involved in all 9 of our sports that we officiate in the Alabama High School Athletic Association. We'll be right back with Supervisor of Officials Ken Washington of the AHSAA.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. This is
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We're talking to Ken Washington, the Supervisor of Officials for the Alabama High School Athletic Association. Ken, give us a little background. Talk a little bit about how you got started in officiating, because it is a wonderful, wonderful life journey that you've had. You've refereed in the SEC. You've been in the NBA. Talk a little bit about how you got started in officiating.
Well, I got started in officiating. I always wanted to be a coach, and I started off coaching 7th and 8th grade basketball, and there is a guy, his name's Mark Jones, who lives in Jacksonville, Alabama. At the time, he was an assigner, and I used to go play ball in the summer times in these little pro-ams, and officials used to tell me that I looked like an official, and they thought I would be great at it. And so I just finally answered. I always thought about, like, officials being yelled at, so it was nothing that was in my goals of things of trying to do. But I tried it, and the very first time I stepped on the court, I felt something that I've never felt before. And I fell in love with that. And so when I started officiating, I would surround myself around older officials, just try to find people to mentor me. And they did a good job of doing that. And then after my first, right about at the end of my first year, I got a chance to referee the 7th and 8th grade tournament. That's their playoff championship tournament. And I had that game, and I did a really good job. And Mark Jones came up to me and said to me that I did a really good job, and I'm probably going to be a really good coach, but if I decided to officiate, the sky's the limit.
Wow.
And I took that to heart, man. And the next year, I saved all of my money. I ordered this system called the Ed Rush Success System. And if you don't know Ed Rush was in the NBA for over 30 years. He was a supervisor. He referees numerous championships in the NBA. And he had this success system. And then at the time, that was DVDs and CDs. So I listened to him and I watched the DVD. The DVD was about how to watch your basketball games and break down film to get better as an official. And so I went out to the pawn shop, man, and I bought a camera. And I would take that camera, get there early, and I would pay a kid in the stands to record my games for me. Because the coaches sometimes would be real good or be real bad about getting me the film back. Because some of our coaches don't know if we're trying to give it to their competition or not. But I was really trying to learn. And I saved all my money that year, man. And the NBA had a camp over in Atlanta. It was $550.
Yeah.
This was about 18 years ago.
Right.
And so I went to that camp just to learn and remind you, this is my second year officiating just high school and middle school.
Now, was John Guthrie involved in that?
He was not at the time. I didn't get a chance to meet John Guthrie. Yeah. But I got a chance to meet his son, David.
David.
He saw me officiating. Yep.
But
I went over there, paid $550. Long story short, 30 days after that, man, they called me to fly me out to Utah to referee Utah Jazz and San Antonio Spurs just out of high school. And we was in a room about 12, 16 people, and they were in various conferences, SEC, ACC. And you know how you get in these meetings and they ask you to go around and tell your name and your number, where you're from and how long you've been officiating. And when they got around to me, man, to say, this is my second year in high school, all the eyes got bulked open. Like, I hope I do not get a game with this kid on this court with me out there with these grown men. And but my very first game, man, I was out there with John Goebel, who was an NBA referee at the time,
right,
and he still is, and Mark Lindsay, who's an NBA referee still to this day, and he was an NBA official at that time. So I'm in the game with these two guys. So they're like my protectors out there.
Right.
And so we're going up and down, man, and the first time out, Mark Lindsay comes up to me, and he built my confidence to the ceiling. And he told me, Ken, you are better than some people on our development staff right now.
Wow.
And when I left that camp, man, I got about 30 days after that, I got another call, and they invited me into their development league. And they started training me, and I got a chance to referee 12 NBA games. And they released me after four, rightfully so, because I did not have the experience with communicating with with players of that caliber,
right,
and coaches. Is nothing like experience. So you can't substitute that. You can have the look, the calls, but you got to be able to diffuse situation, and that is a art.
Sure. Yeah.
And you know how it is. Are you married?
I've been married for all my life.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. When we're talking about communication.
That's right.
And so to try to deal with those guys got egos, and their confidence is out of the roof, and
sure,
you got to be able to diffuse them. And I was missing that, and they released me. But when I left, I had nothing but the best training in the world, and I kept on with officiating, and 2 years after they released me, I spent 6 years in the SEC before taking this job.
Wow. That's and that's a journey in itself, because
it is.
When you get in a major conference like that, then you generally, as a first year guy, you're going to get some games that other people really don't want, but you get great experience in those kind
that's
of
right.
games. And so, you know, years ago, we had a guy named Pat Atkinson from up your right around Gadsden, who was in the SEC for a while. We had two or three from, and I'm from Sylacauga, so, and Pat Atkinson used to call my high school games. And he, it's not Pat Atkinson. Who is the guy from
Pat Adams.
Pat Adams is from Mobile.
Then you got Pat Evans.
But there's a guy from Gadsden that was in the SEC, and I can't think of him right now. He passed away not long ago. A great official, great high school official, mm-hmm. became a good college official. I'll think of his name and I'll text it to you one day. And but we've had some good college officials come from from Alabama, and now of course we've got Pat from here in Mobile, and we got to get him on too, Ken. That's another guy that
we got some NFL guys too. Anthony Jeffries in Birmingham.
Right. Yep.
James Carter.
Wow.
We got a lot, and they assist us. We have a grassroots program that we're running with the National Federation. They approached me probably about 3 years ago, and we partner with the NFL.
Right.
And they train officials every summer and throughout the year, watching film, breaking things down with them. And a lot of those officials are getting opportunities on the collegiate level, and some of our women are too.
Isn't that amazing how women's basketball has, I mean, you get some really good officials in women's basketball now, whereas early on it was, you know, it was haphazard.
That's right. That's right. And if you watch these NBA games, you see a lot more women progress into the men games. But talking about the women's game has stepped up tremendously. And our All-Star game last night, that women's All-Star game, oh, my gosh. The girls played their butts off. I'm telling you, it was competitive. The ball was going in. They were getting up and down. The coaches was passionate, and they were getting after it just like it was a real game, and you couldn't ask for a better atmosphere. And I'm telling you, that was one of the better games I've seen in a long time, in an All-Star game.
But Ken, we got to get out of here. I hope you have a great weekend,
sir.
And we'll look forward to talking to you later. But thank you for taking time to spend with us.
Thank you for having me on.
Take care.
Thank you.
Ken Washington. He's a good one. And he is the supervisor of officials for the Alabama High School Athletic Association. When we return, David Cutcliffe from the SEC office in Birmingham.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
You know, I can promise you that Coach David Cutcliffe recognizes Michael McDonald and recognizes Steely Dan and some of those, because that's during our day of music, and that's 25 years of that that we get right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. It's an honor, and it's a thrill for me to have a chance to talk to Coach Cutcliffe. If there was a guy who made a huge difference in this person's life, it was David Cutcliffe, because when you got a chance to coach with David at his first head coaching job in high school at Banks High School, it didn't take you long to learn that this was a guy that loved the game, loved the kids that he coached, and took a whole lot of pride in doing it and doing it the right way. Coach, welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Thank you, Coach Cleveland, and I really do appreciate those comments. It was a great time. And, you know, had it all just been that way for the next 40 years, I promise you I'd have been happy.
Well, you know, if they hadn't have told us and gave us the kind of the warning that they were going to close Banks in a few years, we would have probably all stayed there, because that was a
– Well, that's true. We could have. And things were changing as they are today. And, man, when we go back to our roots, woo, it's frightening how much has changed. Y'all are not hearing an echo, are you? I'm hearing myself talk.
Okay, we'll
right
cut
now.
That down. See if that
okay.
Does that help you?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay. Thank you for telling us that, because a lot of times we'll have people on and then we don't realize it till after we play it back. So, Coach, kind of bring us up to date. I keep up with you all the time, but I know that you're now working in the SEC office and with Greg Sankey, as you're the I guess the title is the liaison between the conference head coaches and its administrators.
That's it. And, you know, it's a unique place to be. There's never been – when he called me after I had retired from coaching, I really wasn't sure what he wanted. And I said, well, let's talk in person. So I flew down to Birmingham and met a lot of the staff, visited with him, and they didn't have a title. They didn't have a job description. So I said, how can I say yes? So let's at least you guys come up with a title that you think describes what you'd like me to do. And they came up with that special assistant to the commissioner for football relations. And Coach Cleveland, let me tell you, that word relations sold me to take it, because that's all sports is relationships. And I had many great relationships within the league and the coaching ranks, even a number of ADs. And so I thought, well, maybe I can help some. Whether I have or haven't, I don't know. But I do know that I'm welcomed with open arms at all 16 institutions when I come in for a visit.
You know, I don't think there's anybody that I've heard more compliments from when our coaches from around the SEC come in for the Senior Bowl, all the Senior Bowl events. And I'm really privileged that I've had the opportunity to be involved with a lot of them. And the respect that the coaches have for you, Coach, is unparalleled. And
I have the same for them. They're, you know, these guys are not in this for any other reason than to coach. The same reason you and I got into it.
Right.
They're still – that's who they are.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have to be reminded, you know, in all of this high-profile, big dollars and, you know, all the pressures. Don't ever change. Coach, you know. That's what coach means is you take some youngster from where he is to a desired destination, no different than when someone got in a coach back in the day in England – to go from one place to another, and that's what we're required to do as coaches.
Well, and you certainly endeared yourself to many, many young men. in your days. You know, you have an unbelievable relationship with the Manning family after coaching and being the coordinator at Tennessee with Peyton, and then to have recruited primarily. You were probably the primary recruiter, even as a head coach at Ole Miss when you brought Eli in. But
I was the only recruiter because I recruited him before I hired a staff. I'm no dummy.
that's a neat story. But I want to go back all the way. And saying that, I said that because I just wanted people to know that what kind of relationship you do have with that family, because that's a really interesting story and one that family has a great deal of respect and love for you. But I want you to go back. I know how much money you made when you left Banks and went to Tennessee. You and Phil Fulmer had a unique, great relationship.
We did.
And when you left, I don't even think you took your boat with you to Knoxville.
I did not. I couldn't afford it. I had to sell the boat. I was driving that nice Cadillac. I'm young, single, you know.
Yeah.
Doing well at Banks, I had to sell it, and I was driving a Toyota Corolla hatchback after that. So Coach Majors told me it wasn't healthy for a young, single, assistant SEC football coach to make too much money. And in about 2 years, I finally got the courage up to go in and tell him, Coach, I hadn't thanked you properly. He said, what? And I said, I am the healthiest football coach in the entire SEC. I need a raise.
Well, that's really funny. I know our son was young, and he said, Dad, how much you think Coach Cutcliffe made when he first went to Tennessee? I said, Clay, you make more in a month than he makes, and it wasn't very much, I can promise you.
And it worked out great. I decided that, you know, rather than sweat over a place, I asked, let me help in the dorm. You know, there were issues. And so I moved in the dorm. I lived with those kids. You know, I think I won their respect. You have to win it. You know, they don't give it to you. But I do believe we made a difference the first year there. And because, again, you go back to real relationships. And I'm friends with these guys today. I mean, really, really good friends.
Right.
And we talk. And so, well, what a rewarding time in my career, and it certainly wasn't about money.
No, and you just have to know David Cutcliffe to know that it wasn't about money. It was about growing kids, helping young people be the best they can be, and that's exactly what you did. And, I mean, that's your reputation, is just being a perfectionist in the teaching of student-athletes. And when you talk to coaches who coached with you, of course, being an offensive line guy, got a chance to meet several of your coaches, and just the utmost respect that they have for you. But as you have moved on now, I want to talk just a little bit about it. And as we've got breaking news today, as we're taping this show, there's an executive order from the president.
I'm anxious to see that, yes.
Well, I hadn't read it, but Steve and I were talking about it coming in. But kind of give your thoughts and ideas on where we are in college football, because to be honest with you, Coach, I think we've lost amateur football.
Well, I don't think there's any question. It's not amateur football. I'm not. What frightens me is that's moving down into the high school
ranks,
which is utterly abusive to young people, in my opinion. There's enough things to worry about, even as a college student, about growing, learning, becoming the man you need to become, let alone do it with high school youngsters. But here's the word that frightens me. It's transactional. Everything seems to be transactional. And the focus, do you remember how elated you would be to get a full scholarship?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. To have your education paid for, and it that occurred time and time again, to where you had first generation people with not just a college degree, but an education, like Coach Bryant used to talk about. If you teach winning the right way, you're teaching them everything you need to teach them about being successful in their lives. And he that was the epitome of his philosophy. And we've all, you and all of us that got into coaching for the right reasons, we've seen these success stories. And it's not perfect what we were doing, but it wasn't transactional. It was open arms. It was caring. It was, you know, the families you got close to them. Now you don't even have time. Everything's in a rush, rush, rush.
Yeah.
So you're right. It's not amateur. And now we have too many third parties involved. And when you get third parties involved, you don't know who has the best interest of that youngster. So, you know, I get asked a lot of questions by our coaches about, you know, how would you approach this? And I say this first. I've never been in the circumstances where you're in. I realize that there is a value that you have to put in front of them. But at the same time, coming out of my mouth would be the same expectations that have always been there. And hope that you're recruiting the right kind of young people and the right kind of parents. And let them know up front, there's going to be sacrifices and hard work. And, I mean, the one thing nobody will ever take away from you is who you become.
Absolutely.
Through all of those sacrifices and hard work. And I've seen too much of that work. And so we got problems. I'm anxious to see what the president has written down. And I know the commissioner's been anxious for that.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Well, hold it right there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Coach David Cutcliffe of the SEC office in Birmingham, Alabama, right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We're talking to Coach David Cutcliffe, a guy that this guy has utmost respect for and who learned some pretty valuable lessons from this gentleman early in my career at Banks High School. Coach, I want to mention a couple of local guys that have played a real important part. You've played a real important part in their life. And the first one, I want to talk about a young quarterback over at Fairhope High School by the name of Riley Leonard. Very few people showed as much interest as you did in Riley. And talk just a little bit about that relationship.
Well, I mean, I have a deep-seated love for Riley, his family, respect, love him. The first time I saw him, if you've ever seen a beautiful smile,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Beautiful young man. And, you know, I tell you, Rick, you know I love athletes, and particularly in an era where we're losing multi-sport athletes.
Right.
He was just starting to play quarterback, and you could see the skills. It was rough around the corners, but he had a really good coach, and he was getting better. But when I put on the clips of him playing basketball, yeah, oh, my gosh. Holy, I wanted to start a basketball team, okay? Jeez. And, you know, he's up in Indy with Daniel Jones, and
right,
so I've got two of them there. So I am going to sneak away in August and go watch them in camp together. I've already told them that at the office, and that's two of a kind right there and a great pair. And, man, I hope things go well in Indy.
And two people that are very similar in so many ways, Coach. Just good people. Riley just announced he and his fiancée are getting married.
I saw that. Yeah. I texted him about that.
Tracy and I had a chance to visit with him for about an hour down at Orange Beach, and he's such a good guy. And
he's
gonna make a great husband and a great dad, and I'm just excited for him. The other guy who we have great respect for here, and this whole community absolutely adores, David Morris.
Absolutely.
You played such an important role in his life, Coach. Talk a little bit about David.
Well, I cannot respect a work ethic more than I respect David's. Coming into Ole Miss, there were a lot of loose ends, and David was there as a walk-on quarterback, and he had worked hard. Well, when I inherited that group and evaluated it, I immediately put him on scholarship. He was great for Eli as a backup, and I played him some. I have a philosophy early in the year, regardless of score, you better play a backup. If he hadn't played a lot, you better get him a few snaps, because you don't ever know when you're going to have him to win a game.
Right.
He just stepped in and did what you would expect, and he was so good for Eli. It was like having another coach in the room and a coach off the field. And David Morris, I used to love it when he would talk to my son, Chris.
Right.
And he would always share things about life that were unbelievably wise at his age. And then I knew he could teach quarterbacks, but lo and behold, he's a great businessman. How about that, huh?
He is that. He is definitely.
When I went down and saw that facility, my chest just about burst open.
Yeah.
And I have people coming at me from all over the place. How can I get in to work with David Morris? And then some of my guys are working for David.
Right.
So love it. Absolutely love him and love what he's doing.
Well, I know you and Karen are mighty proud of Chris. You mentioned Chris. Chris is following in his dad's footsteps. He's a head football coach at Oxford High School, and just has done a tremendous job, and I know that you're mighty proud of him.
I am. He's a really good football coach. He was working for us at Duke, and you could tell he was, and all the coaches knew it, he was going to take off and have a bright future. He and Molly got married while he was there and had their first child. And then he came to me and he said, Dad, he said, Molly and I don't really want to move all over the country like it takes in collegiate coaching.
Yeah.
What do you think? I got an opportunity to go back to Oxford Coach High School. Am I settling? I said, Chris, wait a minute. You're getting ready, if you do that, to take the most important job on the face of the earth. That's called teacher/coach.
Yeah.
And Jesus Christ is referenced in the New Testament as teacher more than anything else.
Amen.
And I said, you go get it, buddy. And he has taken that to heart. I had some people that I knew in Oxford that he was a terrific coach, but they called me to say, oh gosh, thank you. He's taught my child math. He has made, and Chris was a math major and got a master's in the art of teaching at Duke while he was there with us. Now he's not having to teach classes anymore, but you know, I'm very proud of that fact, not just the winning football game.
Right. Well, I told you that we've hired a coach here. Terry Curtis is retired here, and one of the all-time winningest coaches, spent the last 20 years with him. He retired, and we hired a young man from Brandon, Mississippi, and he has nothing but great things to say about Chris Cutcliffe. And, you know, when you get young coaches, and Sam's 33 years old. He walked on at Mississippi State. And
that's great.
And he's been very successful at Brandon. First thing Sam said about Chris was, boy, he's top shelf, coach. He is top shelf.
Well, he is. I'm going to say this about Terry Curtis. If people don't realize how great a human being he is and how many young people's lives he has influenced. I loved Terry when Terry was an assistant and I'm down there recruiting in Mobile, and we've had a relationship since. But he's a game changer for the state of Alabama. That's what he's done. Love him.
Well, he certainly is a person in a lot of coaches' lives, assistant coaches that work for him and have the utmost respect for him. And he is he's done a great job, too, as the president of the Central Board of Alabama, which you know is a huge job.
Yes.
And in a time when we really need it, Coach, because we're facing what I'm afraid is a very important part of high school sports. We see so many kids transferring, Coach, and it's just – it's unspeakable to see what we're going through right now.
It is, and again, that goes back to transactional. Can you imagine, okay, take a home, and you've got a teenager, and he wants more getting more money than, you know, he's doing this job at home and that. He wants his allowance raised. And his parents say no, and he said, well, I'm going to go live somewhere else.
Wow. Yeah.
Because in coaching, it's no different than being a parent. Think about this, a college coach. When they come to you, it's the first time they've ever lived outside of their home. And you have to serve as that part of them. And you also have the other players. They're not under your roof, but they're under the roof of the other players.
Yeah.
In that locker room. And so, you know, it is such a critical thing to develop, again, relationships, long-term. Man, my high school teammates I talk to all the time, I can't imagine having would ever leave them. No. We don't need to see this. It's not okay, folks.
Well, and it's coming, Coach. And, Chris is already dealing with that kind of stuff, too, in Mississippi. And so I know
he lost his starting quarterback to an NIL deal somewhere else.
Unbelievable. Coach, I want to tell you how much it means to us here at Prep Sports Report. 25 years old to have you on, to have you share part of your life with us. And it's such an honor and such a privilege to be able to speak with you. And thank you so much for taking time out on a pretty busy day for you guys in the SEC. And we sure do appreciate you.
Yeah, we got a lot happening right now. Our coaches are wearing my phone out. So I'm going to get right back to work. But thank you guys. 25 years of serving, because that's what you're doing. And you're doing it the right way. And you're saying the right things. And we got to continue to believe that that does make a difference. And you're making a difference community by community, which is our best path. And let's keep doing it, brother.
Thanks, Coach. I love you. Always appreciate
you. Love you.
You take care,
Coach Clayton.
That's David Cutcliffe, assistant to the SEC commissioner. Talking about Top Chef. Yep, that's David Cutcliffe. He's one of the finest that's ever been in the business. Hated to lose him from high school, but what a job he's done in college football. When we return, we'll return to the Legend Series and talk with our good friend, Charles Lee, former head coach at Jeff Davis High School in Montgomery.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Hey, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Press Sports Report. Appreciate Coach David Cutcliffe taking some time out of a busy, busy SEC Thursday afternoon to talk with us. And, boy, this is a show that I'm going to remember this one for a long, long time. I may archive this one, Steve, myself, and put it in my little recordings, because this next guy we're going to talk to is guy that I've always had the utmost respect for. When you talk about Jeff Davis High School, you know, the name that pops up in my mind is always Charles Lee. This is a guy that spent his entire life making a difference in young people's lives and winning. You associate winning with a lot of different characteristics in people, but this guy's a winner in every aspect of his life. And He certainly parlayed that into a lot of young people having just wonderful, wonderful memories of their high school career. Coach Charles Lee, former head coach at Jeff Davis High School in Montgomery, Alabama. Coach, good evening, and I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, Rick. Thank you very much for those kind words. I appreciate that. Wish my wife could hear them.
Well, you know, that works both ways, too. I understand exactly how you feel there. You know, I was looking at this stuff, and I said, well, you know what? He when you listen to Coach on the phone, he sounds like he's about 55 or 60. Heck, you graduated from high school in 1958.
Well, and, you have to tell everything you know.
Well, I mean, but you have. I mean, it's just been a great, great career. And I was thinking, you don't. And when I talk to my Montgomery buddies, they say Charles is doing great and he's doing well. And so I get a chance to talk to you, and I'm just so excited to get a chance to talk about your life as a high school coach, because what a difference you've made in so many lives, not only the players you coach, but the coaches that you hired and that you worked alongside. So I want to kind of stroll down your career and talk a little bit about that. Of course, you graduated from my favorite place, from Huntington College in 1962. And then you began your teaching and coaching career at a junior high school, Bellingrave. Talk just a little bit about how you got that job, and that, you know, there had to be a lot of comings and goings, and you jumped right in there and teaching math and science and P.E.
Well, it was an exciting time for me. You know, when you're in college, you're not sure where you're going or when you're going to get there or how you're going to get there. But I had, in college, I had worked with the Y some and had coached some teams and so forth. And I was assigned to go to Bellingrave Junior High School to do my practice teaching. And so it kind of confirmed what I thought I might want to do, because I really enjoyed it. I was working with a great guy. Two great guys, Ellie McKissick, who was a Huntington graduate also, and Bill Walker, who had been a baseball player at University of Alabama. And so they kind of got me started, and I enjoyed my time over there, and I felt very fortunate because of the time I was over there. Before I got finished with my practice teaching, the school was out, the principal had offered me a job. And I think, if I'm not sure, I might have been the first one in my senior class to get a firm commitment on a job. So that took a lot of pressure off of me, and it just went on from there. And Rick, I my wife and I talk about it all the time. I have had such a blessed life. I mean, it's just unbelievable how things have fallen into place for me, and I couldn't be any more happy than what I've been during my tenure.
Well, and there's a lot that goes into that, and you know, scriptures teach us that luck is something that you attain from the jobs that you do, and so you have done those jobs very well. Your life kind of changed a little, I'd say, in 1968, though, when that new school was built, and when Jeff Davis was built, you certainly were one of the first people that they brought in there.
What a great time for us, and a big time for the city of Montgomery, because we'd not had a new school, and Jeff Davis was opened up, and we had a great time. We had a name, but we didn't have any school colors. We didn't have a nickname. We didn't have a fight song. We didn't have anything, but Green Bay was on a roll back at that time, and Bart Starr, who was from Montgomery, and we all knew Bart Starr, knew his dad, Ben Starr. And so we got to put our heads together, and Ben called up and got Bart to send us an authentic Green Bay uniform. And we copied that uniform to the T, even though we were one of the first teams, I think, that wore stockings back then, because Green Bay wore them.
Yeah.
We had decals on our helmets that a lot of people didn't have at that time. So it just all kind of fell into place. And Coach Livens had played at Kentucky, and he was the head coach, and so we kind of adopted a fight song from up that way, and it just we let people vote on the two things that we voted on. Were we going to be the Jeff Davis Volunteers or the Jeff Davis Troopers? Because you had the opportunity, if you were in Montgomery, if you wanted to change schools, you could do that, and so that's the way we became Volunteers, and it just all fell into place. I remember in our first season, we wanted very much to have the year off and the season off and the career off with a winning season. And we got down to the last ball game, and if we lost we would have a losing season. If we won, we'd have a winning season. And we were going to play Enterprise, and that was quite a task. And so we practiced in November two-a-days. So in the morning before school and in the afternoon, and we were able to, if I remember, squeak out a 9-7 win. And the next year we had an undefeated season, and it just steamrolled from then on.
We're talking to Charles Lee, the former head coach at Jeff Davis in Montgomery, Alabama. We got about 2 minutes left in this segment. But you're one of those guys that's been a head football coach, a head basketball coach, a head baseball coach. I can relate to that. Very few people can relate to that. Talk about that journey of being a head coach in all three major sports during your day.
Well, fortunately, there was only one time that I was a head coach in all three of them in one season, year. And so the rest of the time I was either assistant football, but I was head baseball and basketball, or mostly basketball. But, you know, it all worked out. It was tough sometime. You were gone from your family a lot, and you missed your children a lot, and you was looking at other people's children. You probably should have been spending more time with your own.
Well, we all that's something that troubles all of us later in life, doesn't it? We all wish we'd had a chance to spend more time with our own than everybody else's, but that's just what we did, and you did it very, very well. And we want to talk about 1979 when Coach Billy Livens left, but we're going to save that for the next segment. But when we come back, I just want to kind of talk a little bit about that staff, because y'all had such, and I don't say unusual very often, but you had such an unusual staff in it. Everything, y'all, it was just so unique, and so many personalities, and y'all all got along so well. I want to talk a little bit about that, the formation of that staff when y'all first got there, and just what a great group of guys, Coach, because you guys had so many different interests. One of them being softball, that united. Coach Livens was such a big deal with him, but that staff was so, and unique. I guess that's the best way to say it, because there were so many different personalities that got along so well. I want to talk just a little bit when we come back about that staff. We're talking to Charles.
That'll bring up some fond memories.
Yes, sir. We're talking to Coach Charles Lee on the Legend Series, right here on FM Talk 106.5 and the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106. On the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. And we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in the heart of Mobile. Hey, if you have a breakdown in your car, if during all this rain we've got, if you have a fender bender, give our folks a call at Premier Collision. That's 251-478-4500. Chris or Kim or Tyler, they'll take care of all of your needs there. Tell them you heard about them on PSR, and I can promise you when you leave there with your car, you will feel so much better about the way everything was handled, and you'll feel like you're driving a brand-new car. That's Premier Collision right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. We're talking to Coach Charles Lee, member of the Alabama High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame. This guy, deservedly so, has been recognized for so many endeavors, and he's been involved in that community in Montgomery for many, many years, even since his retirement. But we're sharing his story on our Legend Series today, and, boy, I'm telling you, we couldn't found a better recipient than Charles Lee. Coach, talk just a little bit about that first staff that y'all had, and I know it grew, and it grew into one. When I did my student teaching there, it was something special and something I'll always remember.
Well, you know, I like to tell people that when Jeff Davis was being built, and we didn't have a school when we started spring training in the I guess the winter, you would call it, of 1968, and So we kept all the equipment either at my house or Coach Living's house, or had a lot of it over at Bellingrath where I was. And we had our PE classes help put taping, striping on the helmets over there. And we had to practice at Cloverdale because we didn't have a field. And by the time fall rolled around, we still didn't have a field. But I tell people we were, I and along with Coach Livens, we were the first three or four people that were hired. They hired the principal, and then they hired the head coach, and then they hired two assistants. And that was all we had to start with. It was just three of us that were hired as coaches, and we did get another guy that came in and volunteered and helped us, and he was a teacher there. So we didn't have a big staff then, but it was a lot of excitement. A new school, a new rivalries were being formed, and it was just a great, exciting time for, particularly for us to be on the ground floor. And I used to speak at some coaching clinics, and I always told the coaches, I said, I wish that every one of you had the opportunity to be hired at a place that had never had a school or a football before and enjoy getting that school started. And it certainly was a pleasure.
And it's a yeoman's task. It is a yeoman. I mean, you guys, you had to do everything. You're talking about purchasing and buying equipment and jerseys and everything, footballs.
Yeah, we did had a lot of meetings picking out uniforms and things like that. But like you said, we had absolutely nothing to start with, and it was a full-time job just getting ready to go on the practice field.
Well, and when I think about the people that eventually became part of that staff, Rick Rhodes, Al Abernathy, Bobby Wilson, Slade Rhodes, Billy Addison, those are just some of the names. I mean, y'all just had a potpourri of just wonderful, wonderful guys that came in and coached with y'all.
Well, you're exactly right. And you know, I look back at what great friends we still are this day, and how much we still enjoy. In fact, it was just 2 weeks ago that Slade and Bubba Lewis and Hood and Rhodes and myself met Rosemarie Livens up at the lake and had lunch with her, and what a good time we had reminiscing. But, you know, you talk about that coaching staff over a period. I was very fortunate to just be one of six different Hall of Fame coaches that worked together at Jeff on the staff. And schools don't have that many, but I'm telling you what, I'm really proud of the staff that we have. Of course, I don't care how good a coach you think you are. If you don't have good players that are willing to work, you're not a very good coach. And we had some outstanding young men.
Well, you did some good players. And I think Coach Livens told me one time maybe the hardest thing to do when you coach a team like a Jeff Davis, some of the teams you had, is you got so many good players, is trying to get as many of them in games and trying to – it's the hardest teams to coach are the most talented teams. And I don't know if that's necessarily true in all aspects, but I can understand that. Y'all had some great players that really didn't get to play as much as you probably wanted them to because of the schedule that you played.
Well, we did. And I always told people, too, that as a head coach, I think the most difficult job I had was scheduling.
Yeah.
I mean, we played schools from Florida, Mississippi, Georgia, and many years did not have a full schedule, didn't have 10 games. So it was very difficult, but that was a good problem to have because we were successful.
You know, Coach, and we're talking to Charles Lee, former head coach at Jeff Davis in Montgomery. Tell me if this is right. Somewhere in my mind, I had a belief that you guys had a game scheduled in Huntsville. Did y'all fly to Huntsville?
No, we did not fly. The team didn't fly. We as coaches had the opportunity because of some of the businessmen around that a lot of places we flew to scout.
Scout.
Now,
okay.
We did fly to Huntsville to scout. We did fly to Moss Point. We did fly over in Georgia to play Clark Central and places like that and different things like that. But it was because of some people in Montgomery that took a liking to us and helped us out. And we'd fly to, like we would fly to Fort Walton to when we got ready to play down that way. But,
right.
But never as a team did we fly, no.
Well, and you guys were the first to play these intersectional games. I mean, I don't think anybody had started playing games out of state until y'all, in my mind, y'all were one of the first teams to start doing that, to play the teams in Georgia and to play the teams in Mississippi and places, and even into Florida. You guys were, I thought, was the first high school team to do that.
I think I'm right in saying this. I know that one year we lost four games, and we lost to the state champion of Georgia, which was Clark Central. We lost the state champion of Mississippi, that was Meridian. We also lost another year to a state champion over there, which was Moss Point.
Right.
And we lost to Choctahatchee. So we had some really tough ball games and some real challenges.
So, Coach, for 18 seasons after, 1979, by 1980, you had become the head football coach. And Jeff Davis did not miss a beat for 18 years. You played the best teams in the state and other states as well, like you said. And you had undefeated regular seasons. Those were just some great, great times for you, and it's got to be great memories for you.
It was. You mentioned that, and that was toward the end of Billy's career before he moved to Florida and I took over. But we went – I think I'm right in saying this. I think we went like 9 years and lost only 11 games in those 9 years.
Yes, sir.
And during that 9 years, we had five undefeated seasons. And the teams that we lost to, and I think I'm right, 7 or 8 of those schools that we lost to in the playoffs went on to win the state championship.
Wow. Wow. Well, and Coach, you're talking about a litany of players. I'm talking about you just – Jeff Davis had so many outstanding players that went on and played at the next level and made great names for themselves and represented their school so well. That had to be a thrill for you guys as well.
Absolutely. To watch them play on Saturdays in college and then later on to be in the pros, it just makes you feel so proud for the success that they've had and the life that they're able to lead. So it was really, it was a fun time. It's something that, you know, you just covet. You don't ever want to forget it. You don't want to give it up. And it doesn't, not everybody was as blessed as we were.
Well, and it comes a time when you just have to say enough is enough. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, about your retirement and what you've done after since retirement. I really want to talk a little bit about the role that you played in helping our school start their football program, because you were an integral part of that, and thank you for that, because that might have saved our school, to be honest
with
you.
Well, I think it did. I really believe it did, Rick. I sure do.
And we will want to talk about that when we return. Talking to Coach Charles Lee, an Alabama High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame member, Coach of the Year in numerous sports, one of the finest to ever walk the sidelines and grace the basketball courts in the state of Alabama, when we return to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
All right. Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Of course, Randy is, I imagine Randy's on the golf course while we're taping this show. And he will follow us this morning. And you'll catch him on the Southern Fairway show. And I'm telling you, it's one of the best sports shows in Mobile. Southern Fairways with Randy and Bobby Hall and that cast of characters. Great, great guys. Certainly look forward to hearing them. Talking to Coach Charles Lee, the head football coach at Jeff Davis High School for 18 years, an assistant there for several more, and 1997. And if I'm not mistaken, now I'm going back on memory because I had done something with the AHSAA Radio Network 1996, was that Jeff Aaron when y'all beat Mountain Brook? And there was a big goal line stand early, maybe the first half, at the end of the first half.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct.
And you guys win the state championship that year, and at Legion Field, back when we played them there. Then 97 comes, and after the 97 season, you just made the decision that it was time. Tell us a little bit about what went into that.
I don't know. You know, I've had that question asked me a lot of times, and I don't know the answer. You know, people say, "How do you know?" I don't know. I think you just know.
Right.
I know that we had in 95 we lost the state championship 7-6 by extra point. Our kicker missed the only extra point that he missed all year, and we were at Legion Field, and we were kicking on the college goalpost that year.
Right.
And it just didn't miss it, but we had a couple of things that went against us. So I can remember standing on Legion Field after that ball game and just heartbroken, said, "Oh, Lord, I won't ever have this opportunity again." But our players didn't believe that. We adopted Unfinished Business as our theme for the next year, and went back and won it the next year. And then the following year, we got beat, I think, in the quarterfinals. We had gotten a lot of injuries to two of our running backs and three of our quarterbacks, and we lost in the playoffs. And I don't know, it's just it was just something. My mother had wanted me to get out of coaching. She had kept on me. Well, things were going the way they were going. She said, you need to do that. And as it turned out, she was in intensive care, and it was in April of that year, and I was up in the room, and I told her, I said, "Mom, I finally made a decision." She said, and she, I don't know if she heard me or not, I guess not. I said, I'm going to announce tomorrow that I'm going to retire. And I think she smiled, and so I left the intensive care, and she died that night.
Oh, Charles.
So I just felt like, well, maybe that was the thing to do.
Right. Well, wow, that's something there now. So you got to find something to kind of keep you in touch with people, because you're such a people person. So you go to work for Jackson Hospital as director of sports medicine. Talk just a little bit about that.
You know, I always said that I would not quit, and I would not retire until I had another job lined up.
Right.
And I lied, because I did. I quit and I didn't have a thing. And the next week we were having the Jimmy Hitchcock banquet here in town. And one of the doctors came up to me and we got to talking, and he asked me what I was going to do, and I told him I wasn't real sure. And the next day I got a call from the vice president of the hospital, and they said, "We want you to come to work for us." I said, "Doing what?" They said, "We don't know yet." I said, "What do you mean?" We don't know what we want you to do. We don't know how you're going to do it, but we want you to come to work with us. Will you come talk to us? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so it just worked out, and I became director of the sports medicine for Jackson Hospital, and we provided such a lot of care and all the physicals for the athletes and in the Tri-Counties area here and outside also. So it was just another blessing, that the good Lord just taking care of dumb people like me.
Well, I don't agree with that, but you're pretty smart the way you handled everything, the way you've handled it over the years. I'm sure that was rewarding, because you were still doing everything you could to help young people. And
you know, the thing about it, is during that time, right toward the end there, I was so fortunate, the people I got to be associated with. I got to be president of the Football Coaches Association. I got to meet so many coaches across the state. I got to serve and coach in four different All-Star games. I got to work on the selection committee for the All-Stars. And I got to meet so many people. And you know, Rick, there was so many. Mobile was so strong at that time with leadership down there, like Paul Christopher,
right,
Ed Latham, and you know, just so many, Terry Curry, there's so many people down there that I got to know, and we became, I thought, really, really good friends. And I see Billy Odom, you know, when he's around still doing right. stuff, and Bob Pannoni, and just, but it was that way all over the state, and it was such a blessing to me at that time, and it just made it so much, so enjoyable for me to everywhere I went, but at the same time, it made it just that much difficult to step aside also.
I can only imagine, because, you know, it's a unique fraternity, coaching fraternity is.
It really is.
And, you know, and during your time, it was even more so, I think. I think in today's world, coaches aren't nearly as close, it just seems like to me, as they were during our time.
I think you're exactly right. A lot of times, I remember a year before last, a bunch of us were sitting at the Hall of Fame luncheon, and we got to talking. There was 8 or 10 of us that had none of us coached with each other, but we both coached against one another, and what a great rapport we had with each other. And that very topic came up, and this the fact that, you know, how competitive we were, but when it was over, it was over.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, there was not this everybody wanted to win, but it wasn't like I think sometimes we have instances now.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Coach. You know, one of the things that wanted to end up this conversation with was your leadership in helping Huntington College establish our football program. If you'll talk a little bit about that and how all of that even started to come up to develop a football program there.
Well, you know, Huntington was on the verge, as you mentioned a while ago, they yep. were just about to close down.
Right.
Their enrollment was down to, I think, 280, something
right.
like that. And they had borrowed money, and it got to the point where they couldn't borrow money anymore. And there was so much talk around different things. There were a lot of schools that places where people had dropped football. And when they had dropped football, their enrollments dropped, and their faculty lost their job. And so Huntington said, we're not going to go that route. They didn't have football to start with, but they said, we want to start something new. And they talked to me and several other leaders in the school and around Montgomery. And I told them, I said, you know, Huntington could field a very competitive team with nothing but people just in the tri-counties right here.
Amen.
Because there were enough good football players around. Well, one thing led to another, and all of a sudden, we're ready to play football. And they didn't have a coach at that time. They had an athletic director that was a golf coach.
Yep.
And so they said, "Well, we're just going to do this, but in the meantime, you know, we need to get us a coach lined up." And so I recommended them that we talk to Mike Kirk, who was coaching at Troy at that time. We talked to Mike, and Mike talked to Larry Blakeney, and the deal was that he was going to, after the first year, after the Troy season was over, we were going to change.
Right.
And so the guy that was heading it up, it wasn't a football coach, but was doing the best he could. He left early, and they called me, and we talked about Mike, and so I called Mike, and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm fixing the tee off here in Dothan," I think he was. I'm not sure where he was.
Yeah.
I said, "Well, there's been a change of plans." He says, "What's that?" I said, "You need to come to work now, not next December."
Oh.
And so all of a sudden, one of the best hires that yeah. Huntington's ever made was to hire Mike Kirk. And what a blessing he's been. And what's happened is that the school is way over 1,000 people now.
Yep.
The enrollment is up. They've added sports. They tell me that I believe the number is either 73% or 78% of the student body is enrolled and involved in some form of athletics, whether it be on a team, because they got track, they've got volleyball, they've got beach ball, they've got wrestling, they've got band, and all those things. And so it has just been a blessing for Huntington College.
It sure has, Coach. And And, you know, the beauty of that is so many student athletes get to enjoy a beautiful, beautiful school, one that you and I both love, but it's one that is, it is thriving. And now we play football on the Charles Lee Field. What an appropriate name to have that field named after you. And congratulations for that. I don't know if I've ever congratulated you for that, but that is a – wow, that's special. That is special. And thank you for that.
It's meant a lot to me and to my family. So we are so appreciative of Huntington for that.
Well, nobody deserves any more at all than what you deserve. I can tell you that because you have done so much for so many and been a servant, have a servant heart. And thank you so much for everything you've done for so many, not only players, but coaches as well. And you are to be congratulated, and I hope life continues to be great for you and your family, Coach.
Well, I have been blessed, as I told you, and I appreciate your kind words.
Take care. God bless.
All right.
Hope to see you soon,
see
Coach.
Ya. All right.
That's Coach Charles Lee, head coach at Jeff Davis High School, retired. When we return, we'll have the Camp Grace segment.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. You know, when you look at life, we live in a changing world. There's no doubt about that. Not only in athletics and academics, but just everything about our life at some point in time changes. And sometimes for the better, sometimes for the not so good. But as I was preparing for this show today, I kind of got slapped in the face, and I'd read a scripture that just kind of set the tone for what I want to talk about today. It was 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter, the 16th through the 18th verses, and it says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, that kind of woke me up a little bit, and I was, as a matter of fact, in the middle of reading a book that Rick Burgess wrote about his dad, who was a longtime high school coach and also head football coach at Jacksonville State University. Matter of fact, won the only national championship Jacksonville State has ever won in football while he was there. And just listening to Rick talk about an attitude of gratitude, and I came upon some thoughts and wanted to share them today. And Thessalonians was the scripture that we use. You know, if you were to list the qualities of the people you most admire, if you just start writing a list of the qualities of those people that, you know, you hold utmost in your thoughts, and probably a thankful attitude would probably be at the top of that list. John Maxwell says it very well. Concerning attitude, and you know, attitude will either make you or break you. And so John Maxwell says this: "I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And leadership has less to do with position than it does with disposition. The disposition of a leader is important because it will influence the way the followers think and feel. Great leaders understand that the right attitude will set the right atmosphere, which enables the right responses from others." You know, I don't know about you, but I sometimes think before I respond. And I don't know if that's good or it's bad in some cases, but it's been better for me. in my life, to think about what you're going to respond or how you're going to respond and how that response is going to be received. And you want it to be positive. And your attitude's always a choice. I mean, you may not be able to control circumstances, but you can control how you react to those circumstances. You know, sometimes in my life in the past, and Mark and I talk about this a lot, sometimes circumstances have created some, you know, some put us in bad places. And how we react to those circumstances has a lot to do with what becomes of those circumstances. But, you know, in my life, what I have learned is knowing that God is in control should make a difference in one's attitude and in my attitude. In fact, what we just read, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18, it tells us, it implies that our trust in God is directly linked to our attitude. One of the most difficult disciplines in life is the discipline of thankfulness. Taking time to thank God for our team, for our children, for our spouse that He has given us. And taking time to count your blessings and maybe, just maybe, adjusting our attitude. You know, this has always been something that I just dreaded. I dreaded a certain time when I had to pay bills. I just dreaded it. Not that I hadn't worked hard enough to have the money to pay the bills, but paying bills used to be a pain in my side. And when I would finish, I felt like I could bite a 10-penny nail. I was just so tired of paying those bills. But it was something that I had to do. It was something that needed to be done. It's something that for my life, I wasn't happy if I hadn't paid all my bills, and I made sure that at a certain point in the month, all of those bills were paid, and I didn't have to deal with that for another month. I know most of you can relate to that as well. You see, most coaches can identify with that bumper sticker that reads, "My take-home pay won't even take me home." I used to get so tickled, I'd be driving from one side of Birmingham to the other when I was coaching at Banks High School, and I would see something very similar to that. And when you see that my take-home pay won't even take me home, it worries you a little bit. Well, interest, taxes, and high costs for services all made me get just disenfranchised and almost would make you angry. Then I can remember one day I was writing checks to pay our bills, and all of a sudden I had this sense of peace that came over me. And it was the Lord that was speaking to me and to my heart about being thankful. And He had provided the income for me to pay my bills. And you know, as time has progressed, as time goes on, writing those checks to pay those bills doesn't become such a bad time. It really gives me a really good feeling to know that God has provided a way for me to take care of those that I need to take care of, and particularly to pay those bills that I need to pay. And every check I write, there's just this little thing down there you put on it, and it says PTL. And praise the Lord that I have the opportunity to do that. So, you know, if you have those same attitudes about circumstances, then you think back about Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, you know, those of us in the coaching business, and we talked about it with Charles Lee and with David Cutcliffe, you know, winning is important. But being able to compete and to help young people grow and to be the best they can be is a job that we really have. And if we do that and are successful with it, then we're writing a check for those young people's future. And I thank God for that. And again, I thank God that I don't get nearly as angry as I used to when I'm finished. That's what I think. I don't know what you think about it, but I know this, praying constantly and giving thanks and everything is God's will for us. And I hope it's his will for you as well. And I hope you recognize that. Mark and Randy will all be back in the studio together next week. And I can't promise that, but I can promise you once football season gets started off and we kick it off August the 21st, we'll all be together then, because that's important to us to all be together when we kick off football season. The summer's a time when we kind of do our own thing, and we get to spend Thursdays with, I think, the best producer in all of radio, and Steve Stanley, and I certainly appreciate him. But I certainly appreciate Ken Washington from the state office and David Cutcliffe from the SEC office and Charles Lee, former head coach at Jeff Davis in Montgomery, and a man that I have the utmost respect for, as I do for David Cutcliffe and Ken Washington. And we appreciate them joining us today on Thompson's Tractor Prep Sports Report. We ask you now to remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful week, and we hope to see and hear you same place, same time, next Saturday.